Well, good evening. I'd like you to turn, please, in your Bible to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. We're just going to read one verse tonight, and it's a very common verse. I'm sure you're going to understand and know it. I want you to look at the 13th verse. Many of you probably can quote this by heart. It's one of those great promises in Scripture that's terribly misused. I hear people quote this verse for all sorts of reasons, but tonight we're just going to take it at face value. If we've all found that, could you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Pretty powerful words. Maybe we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, dear God, for your word. I thank you that every word is true. I thank you, dear Father, that you wanted us to have your word, and so therefore you have preserved it. I thank you, Father, that we could meet tonight and under freedom. And Lord, that nobody was barring the doors, no chains on the doors, no guards telling us we couldn't meet tonight. Lord, we are so pampered here in the United States, but I am thankful, dear Father, that I was born here, that I was raised here, and I'm thankful, dear God, for the amount of money that is being sent abroad in order to widen, if you will, the church throughout the world. I think of the Southern Baptists, and I think how honored I am to be a part of them as they send money throughout all the world, not only here in the state of Texas and North America, but Lord, everywhere. I'm thankful there are missionaries who have wanted to go and they have followed and answered your call. God, I'm so thankful for them. And I'm thankful, Lord, we belong to a very giving church. Lord, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful we're a loving church. But Father, tonight as we look at this particular passage, I pray, Lord, you'll just open our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak through me, and Lord, I ask these things in thy name. Amen. You may be seated. It's a little warm, so I'm just going to take off my coat. First Sergeant William A. Crowder was serving right after the Second World War, and he was in China. And his job and his role in that particular time was to train Chinese soldiers in warfare. And while he was over there, he contracted tuberculosis. They shipped him back to Denver, Colorado, and while he was in Denver, they went through several different surgeries. The first surgery was to collapse one of the lungs that had tuberculosis in it so bad. He went in for another operation where they went in and actually cut out a third of his other remaining lung. So he only had two-thirds of his lung left to normal capacity, if you will. And I want to tell you that that man was my father. Now, the reason I tell you that story is because as I was growing up, my dad could not go out into the yard and throw a baseball with me. He could not throw out, could not tell me to make sure that when I'm batting, I make sure all my weight is on my back foot. I was the guy who, when he was playing sandlot baseball, had the bat on his shoulder. I mean, that was me. That was the guy. So anyhow, I never had that from my father. So when time came to be old enough that I could ride a bike and carry my mitt with me, and we'd go out to the makeshift baseball diamond, we'd all gather there together, and we'd want to play baseball. And of course, back at that time, Mama sent us off, and we'd see her again about dinner time. But it was safe then, different than it is today. We didn't have lights. We didn't have benches. All we had was two really nice bags and one potato sack. And that potato sack was always second, and we'd always put it out there. And anyhow, when it came time to choose teams, the two oldest boys always got to choose. I mean, that's just the way it was. There wasn't any flipping of the baseball bat and then going up, you know, whatever you do. I don't know what the name of that is. But anyhow, Coach, you know what that is. What's that called?
It's called flipping the bat and doing whatever
you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And anyhow, when they finally get and choose for the first person, anyhow, they start doing this choosing. And then how they would call out names. And because I was a little bit behind, well, maybe I was really behind, I was always one of the last guys chosen. I was always the, if there's nobody else, then we'll pick Bob. And therefore, Bob, I knew that my assignment was going to be right field. I mean, that's where I knew I was going to go. And that was okay with me because I was part of the team. I was called to be part of the team. And I can tell you that as a young, skinny kid who was basically afraid of his own shadow, I would love to have had just one time somebody said, I want Bob on my team. Matter of fact, I'm going to pick Bob first. Bob, you come stand right here with me. I'd love for that to have happened just one time. And I can tell you that, I would love to tell you that I learned all these great life lessons because of that. I can't tell you that. What I can tell you is I grew up always having to prove myself even more so than anybody else. So when it came time for sports in high school, being very tall and very, very skinny, any uniform they would put on me would just drag. And so therefore, I found out quickly that there was one sport that I could go to that nobody else would go, and that was track. And so anyhow, I'd run track. And even then, the hoops under the armpits were down here. I mean, you know, that's how skinny I was. But I always wanted to be called. I wanted somebody to say, I really want Bob. I really want Bob to be on my team. I really want him to be part of this. Deep down inside, I think that's what most of us want. Deep down inside, I think most of us want to be acknowledged. I think most of us want to have the feeling that somebody really appreciates the work that we do. Somebody really is backing us, supporting us. And of course, you know, that's moms. Those moms can do that. Dads can do that. It takes somebody special, but I wanted my peers to want me. So tonight, this message is really one of several that I have preached at one time, and it's actually seven sermons, and you're not going to get all seven tonight, I promise you, but it's one of seven sermons, and I tell you, as I preached the very first time, it really struck me hard in my heart, because preachers get preached at first, do you know that? The Holy Spirit works us over before we ever get the opportunity to put pen to paper or put digital information on a screen. The Holy Spirit really works on us first. And I will be honest with you, the first time that I started studying this, I started realizing that there comes a time in most of our lives as a Christian where we lose the passion to serve. I'm not saying you lose your Christianity. I'm not saying that you lose your salvation. Obviously, I don't believe that. But sometimes we can lose our passion in serving. And so in this particular case, in this message tonight, I just want to say that if there's somebody here tonight that is going through maybe perhaps a difficult time, and I'm talking about spiritually, and maybe you're farther away from the Lord than you have been before, maybe you just need to realize that God has already called you. He's already called you for a purpose, and he's standing by and waiting, and all we have to do is just return to him. And sometimes you have to rekindle, if you will, that flame, that passion that is in our heart in order for us to be able to draw that back. I'm sure tonight if I would say, how many of you can remember the day that you were saved? Now, you may not be able to remember the very instant that you were born, but I remember the very instant that I was born again. I remember where I was. I remember kneeling down. I remember praying. I remember all those kind of things. And, you know, I've written it in the front fly leaf of my Bible so that any time that Satan says, you're not saved, I just go to the fly leaf of my Bible and I says, on this particular date, I knew I was. You know, that's something just magical about the idea, if you will, that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And sometimes I think that we get so carried up in so many things in our life that we miss that point. We miss the point that the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to us, most wonderful thing, is finding Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And sometimes as we go through the motions of being a Christian, we sometimes get evolved and involved with a lot of things that are just really not that important. We get involved with things, maybe activities. Maybe, you know, our church has great activities. I'm just tickled to death we have activities. I'm happy about activities. But I can tell you, activities don't fill the place in your soul that you need when you are struggling with your relationship with God. Activities are great. Lynn and I had the opportunity when we were younger, a few years younger than today, that we had a young adult singles group. Went from 8 to about 108 in about 2 years. And I will tell you, we had activities every week for them. And they were extremely busy. And it was always interesting to me, every time we had an activity, somebody preached. I had a lot of young men, and they felt that God was calling them to preach, so I would have them preach. And if they weren't going to be around, then I had somebody else share the gospel. Had somebody else tell a story, because I think it's just that important that when we have an activity, God ought to be premium in everything that we do, and we ought to make sure that people have an opportunity to say, I need Jesus today. Now, I'm saved today, but there are still days I need Jesus. There are times in my life where I have kind of wandered away from Him. And that's why I think in many cases this message was so important to me, because I think at that particular time I was studying, I was preaching, I was doing all the things that I'm supposed to do as a pastor. I had all those things down, but inside I didn't feel it anymore. I knew who Jesus was. I knew that He had promises for me, and I was teaching that and preaching that, but I can tell you that I might have been hot on the outside, but on the inside I think I was a little cold. And I needed to rekindle that fire, that passion inside of me. And if for no other reason, to rekindle it, because God called me. He loved me so much. You know, on those baseball teams, I was never called first. But in God's heart, I was called. When He was on the cross, He was thinking about me. My sins were placed upon Him. He called me. It's an important thing. And when we start wandering away from the Lord, whether it is physically wandering away or whether it is mentally wandering away, whenever we get to that point, we need to rekindle then that fire within us. Get that passion back. Boy, don't you like to be around people that are passionate about whatever they feel, maybe other than politics? I mean, aren't we happy to be around those kind of people? I'd love to be around Christians who want to tell me what the Lord has done in their life that week. I don't like to be around Christians who say, let me tell you what I have done for the Lord this week. Do you get the difference? I love it when people tell me that the God has done for them that week, the power that He has given, the answered prayers that He has made. I love that when that happens. Well, I kind of find that relationships are part of this deal. So if I'm wandering away from the Lord, then I don't have a proper relationship with Him. I remember the very first time I saw this beautiful blonde-headed girl standing in the parking lot of our church, and I drove in and I saw that. All I could see was this glow about her hair. I mean, it was just glowing about her hair. And of course, that's my wife sitting over here. And I decided right then and there, I wanted her. I wanted to marry that woman. I hadn't even talked to her yet, but I just looked at her, and in my heart, there was this burning passion that just started. And I said, man, I need to make a closer relationship with her. So relationships, really, there are several points to a relationship, isn't there? First thing is just getting past the, hello, how are you? I mean, sometimes for a young man, I got to tell you, ladies, it's hard for a man. It's hard for a man to say, hi, really like your hair. You live here somewhere? Hard for a guy to get to that point. It's difficult for him to get to that point. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is the next step, and the next step is to find out more about her. Where do you live? You know, do you have brothers and sisters? Do you like me? Is my face pleasing to you? I mean, you know, you want to ask those questions, but they don't come out. But you start down this road of relationship. And the more information you share, then the closer your relationship starts to grow. And as it grows, it gets closer and closer. And I finally got to the point where I wanted to hold her hand. I wanted to follow the Beatles. I want to hold your hand. So anyhow, I finally got to hold her hand. And, you know, then we started serious dating, and I found that there's something strange in cars that have happened. I don't understand it. Maybe you all do, but when I was dating Linda, I was driving, and she was right there. Now, today, she's over there. Now, I know gone are the bench seats. I know that. I understand that, but boy, I tell you, I used to really like that. It was like she said, of all the other boys, I'm calling you first. I'm calling you first. The relationship then starts to build, but you know one thing I have found? That in almost every relationship, whether it's a boy and girl relationship, whether it's a relationship with a business, maybe you're in business, there's relationships there. There's relationships in churches as well. And can I say that at some point in time, your honeymoon period is over? All those things that were so bad when you first started out, you totally overlooked those things. I overlooked that Linda didn't like the music that I liked. Now, that's very important as a teenager. I got to tell you, that's very important stuff. But it was okay because I wanted to keep this relationship going with my wife. Relationship requires this consistent communication. But once that honeymoon is over, then all of a sudden you find yourself starting to focus in on those things that weren't important before, but now they become very important. And sometimes as Christians, as we gather together, and even in a church group like this, we'll say you're the primo of the crop of Lakeview because you're coming on a Sunday night. You're here tonight for a variety of reasons. But sometimes, even in this really great group of Christians, we still might find ourselves not as close to God as what we used to be. And perhaps we need to rekindle this fire and this passion for the Lord. I find that most times there's, when you deal with relationships in business, before I was a full-time pastor, I ran a call center in Georgia, and while there, I had 1,800 employees. I had 36 direct people that were responsible to me, and I found that our job was to keep up the relationship with the customers. That was the most important thing. And so it was constantly having to go back and remind people that every time you're on the phone and you're talking to a customer, you have to understand that they expect that you treat them like they're the most important person on that phone. Whether you can help them or not, you still need to help them and you still need to consider that. And it doesn't take long in most people's time, about 6 months to 7 months, and all of a sudden you can start listening to their calls, and their calls are starting to become mechanical, and the passion is leaving. I find that in business. I also find it in churches. Our passion can just slowly start smoldering. It's not on fire anymore. You're not stepping away, but you just aren't on fire for God anymore like you used to be. Rekindle the passion. I can do all things through Christ. Now, either we believe that or we don't believe that. The truth is, Christ has really thrown down the gauntlet to you and I. He said, this is the things I want you to do. I want you to love God with all your heart and all your soul. That's what he wants us to do most of all. So I can tell you tonight, if there was ever a time where you love God more than you love him right now, then you need to rekindle the passion and the fire in your heart. You need to get back to that place. I need to get back to that place when I got saved. I remember getting up. I was so thrilled and excited, I could hardly wait to tell somebody. And as I went out to lunch that day, I wanted to tell everybody I could find that today I got saved because I realized how important that was to me. My fires were stoked. I was happy to tell anybody that would listen to me about Jesus Christ. And I wanted them to come to my church. I wanted them to come on down, and I want you to hear the preaching because then you too can savor this relationship with Jesus Christ. So what happens between that and perhaps where you are today? What happens to that same fervor? What happens to that same fire? What happens? And I can tell you what happens is we just start thinking about other things. I can do all things through Christ. Can I have a ministry here? Of course you can. I will tell you that whenever the new pastor gets here, or Bob, or anybody else has leadership here, they would love to have you come up and say, hey, the Lord has really laid this on my heart. I'd like to teach this class, or I'd like to start a class. I'd like to maybe even do it on Thursday nights. Would you help me and show me how to have a Bible study in my home for my neighbors? Would you help me to understand how I could start a Bible study at work? Can you help me to understand how I can witness to my Jehovah's Witness friend? Can you help me to do those things? I tell you what, no pastor will turn you away on that. But we come week after week after week after week after week. And sometimes it's almost like we cross our arms. I'm not saying we do this physically, but sometimes it's almost like we cross our arms and look at the pastor and say, go ahead, move me. It's your responsibility to move me. Well, I can tell you, it's not his responsibility to move you. It's your responsibility. Create that fire in. There's a story of a young girl who got married, and anyhow, she's so excited, and they go on her honeymoon, and as they're there, she calls her mom. She says, everything is fabulous. It's just great. We're down here on the islands, and you know, he's just wonderful, and he's loving to me, and he caresses me, and you know, it's just great, Mom. It's everything I had hoped it would be. And so Mom hangs up the phone, and anyhow, they're due back in 3 days. They get back in 3 days. She gets a phone call as soon as they're there, and the daughter is just weeping and crying. And she says, honey, what's the matter? I said, I don't know, something happened. Where he was nice and where he was loving me, all of a sudden, Mama, he started using these four-letter words. And she says, now, I know him. I mean, can you tell me what's going on? She says, no, I just can't. I just got to tell you that, you know, Mama, you need to come get me. This is not what I thought it was going to be. And she says, well, no, I'm not going to do that. And tell me now, give me some ideas. She said, Mama, I don't repeat those words. And she says, no, really, really, help me to understand them. And she says, well, Mom, everything was great until we were on our road back, and all of a sudden she says, he started using words like dust, wash, iron. The relationship changed between he's all lovey-dovey, now he's asking me to do these four-letter words. Now, of course, that's a story, and we can laugh at that, and you know, it's kind of humorous. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't think it was, but anyhow, it's kind of humorous, and I like the idea because, you know, there's been things like that that's happened to Linda and I. And I can tell you, when you've been married as long as Linda and I have, you've been through some rough spots, and you've also been through some great spots. Things I just remember, you know, and I got to be honest with you, they're more valuable than the down spots. And can I say the same thing can be said about your relationship with the Lord? Whenever you get down and you're starting to walk away and you start to feel it, now, you may not even know you're walking away, but all of a sudden you start missing events and you start missing church and you stop reading your Bible and you don't want to pray with anybody anymore. As soon as you start finding yourself in that position, I can tell you that those are the four-letter words. You see, because in a relationship with the Lord, it does require work. I need to tell God how much I love him and appreciate him. And he will look at me and he'll say, I love you. But he's looking for me to respond in like kind. I love you. Sometimes we just need to rekindle it. I just recently looked at the Barna. Are anybody familiar with Barna? Barna is a group that makes phone calls, and they check on the pulse, if you will, of Christianity. And I've got some stats I just want to read you, because it is amazing to me how a person who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and understands the calling that God has placed on their heart can fall into these categories. So listen to these categories. The category that they consider born-again Christians. Now, by the way, almost 70% of Americans today consider themselves Christians. So they dig a little deeper and they start saying, okay, do you go to church more often? Anyhow, they start lining up these deals, and as soon as somebody fills that ideal, then they become what Barna considers then a born-again Christian. Do you attend church more than once a month? And I thought, wow, I would have tightened that up a little bit. I said, do you attend church, you know, at least 3 times a month? I mean, I would like to have seen it that way. But for this study, this is where they came to. And it's interesting because since 2011, that's the last time they did the study, Sunday school attendance has dropped from 26% to 17% for people who proclaim that they're born-again Christians. May I say, they need to rekindle their passion for their calling. If they understood what Jesus really did for them, 26 to 17%, 17% of people attend Sunday school. Volunteering at church dropped from 29% to 18%. Now, I will tell you, if you work in church anywhere, you understand that. And the people who understand that the most is the old nominating committee. I can't forget what you call it here. What do you call it? Okay, teams. I'm sorry. All right, teams. Okay. Anyhow, you understand. Their job was always to find people to fill holes in the positions that are out there, whatever it may be. And I'm talking about paid staff. And, you know, they had the hardest job in all church. Because it always amazed me that if a person is called by God to be a Christian, then they should be the very first person that says, whatever you got going, I'll do it. No matter what happens, I want you to do this. I want to do it. So if you have a hole for me, then I'll cut the lawn. If you have a hole for me, I'll work in Sunday school. If you have a hole for me, I'll be glad to do that. And until then, I'll give you everything I've got until a position opens up for me. I will tell you, most pastors would fall over. 18%. 18%. Attending church services dropped from 59% to 35%. Again, these are what they consider born-again Christians. So the numbers have dropped from 59 to 35%, and I think, man, if I would really understand that Jesus Christ, when he was up on the cross, when he was pleading with God and saying, where art thou? When your sins and my sins were placed upon him, and then I find that people just consider going to church just 35% of the people decide that? I have to say, they need to rekindle their passion for the calling that God has placed on their life. And last but not least, and this is the one probably that is hard for me to understand, reading the Bible. Not talking about studying, just talking about opening it up and reading the Bible. During a typical week, dropped from 62% to 34%. Not counting the times that you open your Bible while you're at church or Sunday school, or at a group meeting, or whatever it may be. Just talking about you on your own, how often do you open up your Bible and read your Bible? And it has dropped from 2011 to 34%. So it's no wonder, then, we have so much problems in church today. It's no wonder that we have so many problems in our Christians today. It's no wonder that we are becoming more and more cold towards the Lord. And I will tell you, that scares me, because there's a church mentioned in Revelation chapter number 3. And he says, you're neither warm or you're cold, but you're lukewarm, and I'm just going to spew you out of my mouth. God either really wants you on fire, or he wants you to the point where you say, I'm a sinner, and I need to come back to you. I confess my sins. Let me rebuild that fellowship again. That's the point he wants. We as Christians today, we owe it to Christ, if nothing else, for us to rekindle and have this fire burning inside of us that will not be consumed. We need to have this fire that we look out at people and we say, you know what? When I walk out and I see that sign on that post as I'm leaving this church and it says, you are preparing to go into the mission field, that ought to be burning on our hearts. There ought to be people that the Lord places on your heart that it will drive you crazy until you share the gospel with them. Or maybe you know somebody that's going through a difficult time, and all you need to do is just hold their hand, hug them up. Their fires ought to be burning inside of us and telling us that because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, how can I do any less? These numbers are staggering, and they're difficult for me to understand, and I'll be honest with you, I don't get it. In John chapter number 6, and it's interesting that this particular verse, probably the worst verse for me in all Scripture, is John 6:6:6. Okay, so probably the worst verse I can read in Scripture, and it's John chapter number 6, verses 64 through 66. And it says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and believed not and who they should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father. And then verse 66 says, and from that time, many of the disciples, went back and walked no more with him. When I was pastoring in East Texas, there was a beautiful little resort lake that was there, and people would move in. They were a little bit more expensive houses in the area. And anyhow, I would go and I'd knock on some of those doors, and I'd find people who used to be deacons, people who used to be Sunday school teachers, two ex-pastors. And none of them went to church, and none of them wanted to go. And I say to myself, How can that be? Jesus Christ died for you so that you could have eternity, and now you are shutting all that out because you say, I'm retiring now? I don't need that anymore? I wanted to bring over some sticks and some kindling and bring a fire and say, I can tell you what you need. You need to rekindle this passion within you. You need to rekindle this fire within you. This thing that you had with the very minute you got saved, and what has happened between then and now. Well, I can tell you, 34% of the people say, you know, church is just okay. I'll go, you know, if that suits me. We have a young man that Lynn and I worked with for some time, spent time in our house, lived with us for a little bit of time. Anyhow, today, he said, today I worshiped at the church of the Z's bedside. And then people were piling on, oh, yes, St. Pillow calls. And all this stuff is going on. And Linda had enough of it. And she just finally just, you know, because she could. She's his mom, kind of. And told him how that basically that was just plain flat wrong. What Jesus Christ has done for us, we should not take lightly. Don't you think it's time that we get our joy back? You know, I'll be honest with you. Working in churches, you can get activities ahead of your relationship with Christ. You can get activities ahead of fellowship. You can get, I can say this, sometimes your wife can get in the way of your fellowship. I know I get in front of hers a lot, but we can do things that are absolutely going away from what God wants us to do, and sometimes we just let it happen. Going to youth camp has always been one of my favorites. I just love to go with them kids. I tell you, I just love going with them. They hype me up. They pump me up. They're open to tell others about Jesus. They're also open to say, yeah, I've really sinned, man. And sometimes you have to stop them because they'll tell you all their sins. And you got to be cautious with those guys. But I got to tell you, there's something that percolates in my heart when I go to youth camp. And I'm with these kids, you know, and they make decisions, and all of a sudden you realize these poor kids, now when they go back, they're going back exactly to the same situation that they just left. And boy, who is there to help them? Who is there to strengthen them? Who is there to throw an arm around them? Well, we can't just say it's the youth pastor. I got to tell you, what a church needs is people like you saying, Brent, I don't know who you've got, but let me be one of your disciplers. Let me take somebody under my wing. Let me do that. Let me help. Because I tell you, those kids, some of the kids come from such terrible situations. Rekindle our fire. Rekindle our passion for the Lord. No matter what happens in our life, we should look at that and say, Christ, you're more important to me than anything else. And because of that, then I'm going to step forward and I'm going to make some changes in my life. I want to see my joy come back. I want to see freedom, if you will, because we're under bondage of the world and we're under bondage of sin. Well, let's just break that out and let's find freedom then in the Holy Spirit. We find contentment and we find peace. And if you're not having those things tonight, maybe you just need to get a little fire going. I love that spiritual. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear it by and by. Yeah, you know the words, don't you? I love it because there's a bass line in there. I love it. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Boy, can you just see people start swaying? Because they understand the importance of that song. You know, I love the new stuff. I love some of the stuff that we sing here. I mean, I just love that. But I have to tell you, I really like the heart-to-heart songs. I like the ones that as soon as you start singing them, then your heart just lifts up. We sang some of those tonight. Thank you for your selections tonight. So, when I look at the passion of the calling, I find out here that God had something very special to you and I. When it says that once we become saved and we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ, there's a huge responsibility that's there. Oh, yeah, there's great things that we get. I mean, I just can't imagine what it's going to be like when we all get to heaven and we're there and God says, everything I have fixed for Jesus, you can have. And it's yours. I want you to rule with him. He's going to rule. I want you to rule with him. I don't understand how it's going to happen, but it's a promise in the Scripture. Man, I love those promises. I love it when it tells me that there will be crowns of glory. I love it when it tells me that there will be the soul winner's crown. I love those ideas that we can work down here and there's something that happens for us up there. But can I tell you that if we don't have our fellowship with God, then he can't speak with us on a daily basis. And sometimes we can get so far away from him that he can't even hear our prayers anymore. We need to rekindle that passion, get that passion back. Now, I know that some of you say, well, Bob, I'm just not a very passionate person. Well, I want to tell you that today that God didn't call passionate people. He called people to become passionate. You see, God will use you wherever you are, whatever your standard is, wherever your position is, whether you're retired and been retired for years, or whether you're just approaching retirement age, or whether you're a teenager getting ready to go into 10th grade or 11th grade or whatever it may be, God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And the problem is, as long as we're focused in on Him and we're following exactly what He has for us, then we can be fulfilled in Him. But when we start backing away and we start getting a little cold, then that's when He has to say, man, I've got so much purpose for you. I've got promises for you, but I can't lay them on you right now because you're not in a position to take them. Sometimes we just need to rekindle that. I'm so glad today that my work is not completed. I'm so glad that every day that I wake up and I'm so happy that every day when I get out of bed, the very first thing I do is thank the Lord. Now, I'm one of those rare people that all the preachers preach against. I'm one of those rare people that I don't read my Bible early in the morning. I am not an early morning person. It doesn't work for me. It just absolutely does not. I'm a 12:30 midnight kind of Bible reading guy. Now, that may not work for you. I understand that. But nowhere in the Scriptures does it tell me I have to read the Scriptures early in the morning. Nobody tells me that. As long as I'm retaining and maintaining my relationship with the Lord, that's the most important thing. I don't have to follow a checklist. I don't have to do that. God wants us to be on fire for Him. And the truth is, we should burn out the very second that we die. We shouldn't still have a lot of firewood back there. We shouldn't have a cord and a half of wood back here ready to burn when God calls us home. We should be totally burned out. Is there one more little stick? Is there something else I can do? Is there one more thing I can do for you, Lord? Is there another Sunday school class I can teach for you? Is there another person I can tell about you? Is there a person, dear God, that needs you today? Would you please lay them on my heart? That's the sticks. That's the fire that should burn inside of us. But if we're not in a position where we can be used by God, then we're in a position where we cannot be used by God. Do you get that? If we're not in a position to be used by God, then we are in a position where we can't be used by God. And the only thing that's different is not God, it is us. You see, there was one time I had a Grand Fury 3. I traded in a sports car for a Grand Fury 3. Now, that thing was like 40 yards wide. I mean, I sat here, Linda sat over here, and it was like she was sitting all the way over here. I mean, this car was huge like that. And it was a bench seat. And, you know, I said, what's happening? When we were dating, you were here. Now you're over there. And, of course, her response is so lovely. Seatbelts, honey. Yeah. The thing is, I said, I haven't moved. I'm still behind the wheel, but you've moved away from me. It's my prayer today that each one of us will consider our position with God right now, our relationship with Him. Are you in deep fellowship with Him? Has things come into your life? Is somebody kind of kicking dirt on your fire? Are you pouring out a bucket of water on your own heat, so therefore there's nothing left for you? And the smoke is all that's there? I can tell you, if there's smoke, you can kind of clear your way. You can start adding some new stuff to it, some new wood. And guess what? A little. And it'll start again. And can I tell you, that's exactly what God wants for us. You're never too far away from Him. But we can all draw closer to Him. Rekindling our fire. Rekindling our passion of the calling. There should be no higher calling in your life today than the calling of being a son of God. Nothing should be higher. And if we find that we're not, then I would say, get some wood, throw a little fire, and get a little fire going. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus, let us tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel little prayer will turn, you know the words, right? And you get a little fire will burning. And you'll have a little talk with Jesus. It all makes it right. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you, dear God, that you love us so much that you compel us and you ask us to return to you. I thank you, Lord, that I can do all things through Christ. That's the key. Not all things through Bobby, but all things through Christ. Father, I pray for this group tonight. I thank you, dear God, for their coming tonight. Father, I pray that maybe if somebody tonight needs to throw a little bit more wood on the fire, get that passion that they have the very day, the very second they were saved, and Father, I pray that you'll help them to do that. Help them, Lord, lead them back to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll have an active part in their life this week. And Lord, we'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.